with scatter guns. It had all been very polite and calmly efficient. She had slept well, quieting herself with the meditative techniques taught to her by her mother, Sonia. It had been a calm, dreamless night, and she woke at dawn feeling refreshed.
Have a good night?
Not bad.
You notice the walls and ceiling are padded in this part of the Institute?
Yeah.
That's because the end of the wing was used for crazies when the old-time scientists' pre-dark experiments went wrong.
Charming.
They want you bright and early today for the next round.
I can't wait. Listen, is there any news about the rest of my friends?
Why? What have you heard? Did someone flap his mouth?
Christy shook her head, aware of how tightly curled her flaming hair was, a sure sign of a threatening situation.
No, I heard that the hunting party had gotten separated, but that most of them got back, but not Trader and Ryan.
Yes, I heard that too.
Will I see the others at breakfast? Get a chance to hear the latest news from them?
No.
Why not? The scientists want me to cooperate with them. If they don't help me, then I won't help them. You can tell them that.
I don't think that's a good idea, lady. They'll make you do what they want. It doesn't matter to the Whitecoats whether you want to help or not. I should know.
Why? Why should you know?
Look, you don't get to see the others. That's it.
Until I've been a really good girl with the Whitecoats. Is that it?
Maybe.
What about Ryan and Trader? Did they come back during the night?
No news. Hell, I'm sorry, lady. The weather's been triple cold and snowy. Chances can't be that good for anyone stuck out there all night. Not with that giant grizzly on the loose.
The bear's not born that could take out Ryan Cotter and Trader.
Uh-huh. You keep telling yourself that. Now let's go.
Crichton was waiting for her, with Ladro Buford hopping nervously about at his side. There were 8 or 9 of the other scientists gathered around him, and half a dozen sec men. Christy was immediately aware of a barely suppressed air of intense excitement.
Sleep well, child.
Sure. Can we get one thing straight right away?
Of course.
I don't like being held a prisoner. I don't like being cut off from my friends. And I don't like not knowing what's being done to find Ryan and Trader.
What you don't like doesn't matter. I've had enough of your outlander arrogance. This is the Crichton Institute, founded by my grandmother. We have been playing Mr. Nice Guy with you peasants far too long.
Have you taken all of my friends prisoner too? Tell me!
Young lady, I will have you beaten unconscious by the sec man if I have to. Whatever it takes to shut you up. But yes, your friends are our prisoners, and we shall find uses for them. The albino boy might be quite interesting, as well as the black woman.
Christy felt the wave of anger swelling inside her. Despite her efforts to use the Gaia power to calm herself, she was aware that her anger was getting beyond her control. Buford was watching her closely, and he tugged at Crichton's sleeve, then placed his mouth to the professor's ear.
If we could try the experiment while she's in such a vein...
Ellison caught Christy's eye and winked at her. It helped her break the vicious spiral of rising anger that had trapped her, and she felt her breathing slowing, control fighting its way back into her mind. Crichton turned to her.
We have wasted enough time. Your information, we believe your companions, the middle-aged man and the one with the missing eye, are probably dead. We've sent out search parties. If they are found, they will be dealt with out in the field. Neither are of any value to us. Now we will attempt what my colleagues call the big one. The excitement is nearly too much to bear.
Crichton's face became flushed, and Christy noticed him rubbing his left arm with his right hand.
Perhaps, Ladro, you would give me one of my green pills? It would be a sad irony if I was to miss my date with destiny.
Buford reached into the pocket of his lab coat and fished out a small black box. He opened it and offered a tablet to his boss, who laid it beneath his tongue.
Thank you. Now, let us to it. This is the day that we have been working toward for 100 years.
Fear is a beast that can be small and easily beaten, or it can grow and swell until it is able to swallow the world. That was what Christie's mother had said in one of her lectures on life and living. It came back to Christie as she stood in the largest laboratory she had yet seen. It was divided in two by a huge powered door, and she couldn't yet see what lay in that distant half. There were a number of cubicles of different sizes scattered around the part of the room where she stood. Most of them had walls of clear glass, though one or two were heavily smoked. The rest of the lab looked like sets for pre-dark science fiction vids, complete with busy computers and flashing lights. None of it made the least sense to Christie.
Sit over there. Professor Crichton has to go and rest a little. His health is far from excellent. He has delegated to me the responsibility for continuing. And he has allowed me the honor of telling you of the work we have done here. The work which is now near to its conclusion.
It took the better part of an hour, with Buford's narrative constantly being interrupted by Christie's questions. At the end, she sat back, fighting to mask her emotions, trying to recount what she'd learned.
You have nearly mastered the skill of duplicating living creatures while removing or controlling their worst aspects. Is that it?
Buford nodded, his glasses glinting, his bald skull shining under the harsh overhead lights.
That's really a massive oversimplification, but yes, it will mean a Deathlands free from genetic mutations. As we copy, so we improve. That was the maxim of our beloved founder. Simple genetic engineering that will rearrange the DNA of our specimens. Any kinks in the chain can be removed and tweaked sideways.
A cleaner world. Uncle Tyus McCann, back when I was a girl, had plenty of old books. There was one from the Nazi times. It talked about something called eugenics. Racial cleansing. Rid the world of undesirables. Stop any kind of physical or social deviation from the norm. They called it their final solution back then.
Yes! Yes! You see, don't you? Oh, Christie, I'm so glad you understand.
I understand very well, though I'm not sure I believe it. I heard it took years and years to try to reproduce even the simplest organism.
No, no, not now.
Buford looked around, then limped over to a cage of silver wire on a bench, leaning heavily on his cane.
This rat, for instance.
The rodent was white, with a pattern of black spots and patches, including one that looked amazingly like a spoon with a curved handle. The rat's eyes were pink, and its nostrils twitched as it peered out of its prison.
You see its markings, Christie?
Yeah.
The bit here, like a ladle.
Yeah?
Good. Now, I shall take it beyond the doors and return with it in less than 5 minutes. Sit quiet and wait.
Buford departed with the rat. As Christie waited, the Sekhmen stared at her with a studied indifference. Ellison came and stood by her.
Having fun, Red? Better than watching paint dry, ain't it? They tell you about their twinning?
Ah. Of course. The hounds that went missing. They were identical, weren't they?
Christie thought of the dying man they'd encountered outside, who had been cruelly subjected to hideous medical experimentation, but decided it was wiser not to let on that she had seen him.
Identical? Sure were. As alike as two peas in a pod, Red.
Buford reappeared. In each hand he held a cage, and in each cage there crouched a rat, each a perfect copy of the other, down to the last detail of their complex markings.
There! Now do you believe?
I've seen better tricks done by a medicine show conjurer with a rabbit.
Tricks? It's not a trick, you stupid mutant bitch.
I'm not stupid. There isn't any growth accelerator in the history of the world that could copy like that. That has to be a Chautauqua trick.
Right.
Buford handed the rats to Ellison.
Open the main doors!
The lab door began to lift. The other half of the room was slightly smaller and less cluttered. But Christie's eyes were drawn instantly to two pieces of equipment. She remembered what Ryan had said about the faded sign. Though they were much smaller than the Matran's chamber she had seen in a number of buried redoubts, Christie didn't have the least doubt of what she was looking at. Hexagonal, made from armaglass, with small metal discs in floor and ceiling. They stood about 50 feet apart. Then, Christie knew.
I got it. It was just jammed.
It's an amazing stroke of luck finding a window open like this. The Institute is normally locked tight as a fortress.
Ryan carefully rearranged the slatted blind so that it looked secure to a casual passerby.
Looked like someone was trying to open it from inside. The latch was broken.